Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 84, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Wednesday, May 29th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I've never seen a take so hot. And weed just makes me cry. Code red is coursing through my veins. Cause my name is Jack O'Brien. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Mr. Gray, Jack O'B, tell each other hot takes. And chat with the funny third guest. They're laughing at you. No way, man. They're laughing at me. Shining in the spotlight. I think it's the other part. Anyway. They all want to be
big stars. Mine was from at Haas Bossman.
This one was from Peter Newman at Sog King. Soggy King 79? Whatever. Peter Newman. We'll go with that one. And also, might I add, I think you found your style, your genre.
the country crew.
Yeah, like I was... Something
hey, man.
Happened.
Hey, I appreciate it. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very face of Mount Zeitmoor herself. She is Lil Zam. She is Jamie Loftus.
Oh, let me see if I can go down low enough with my voice. Right.
Jamie is a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, Loftus is a good friend of mine. But lately something changed that ain't hard to define. Jamie's got herself a take on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Is there more?
No, I wish it was a full chorus.
I said I had Jamie's takes. I said I had Jamie's takes. Where can I find a hot take like that?
Nice.
Coming I love in. That part where it just stops.
Then you're like...
And then,
is the song over?
And then it comes back.
No,
yo,
it just started. Keep going.
Shout I do love to, that interpretation.
Is that Rick Springfield?
Or it comes to the stop and you just hear.
Well, so it starts clapping. They're like, yeah, awesome song.
I love that. I love it.
Every time at every concert, half the crowd's like, oh my God.
And they're like, this is their first time.
I love when a clap starts and then they're like, oh, it's the wrong time.
Fuck.
Oh, no.
Happens a lot of people like classical music.
happens a lot yeah. too.
If you hear like at
me?
The LA Phil, like
oh, sometimes you'll
clap
it.
Weird times, like that's wait for the overture,
it's
motherfucker.
The, when the symphony plays outside in like free concerts, yep. you get a lot of clappies. Wild claps because people are drunk too.
Yep.
Where they're like trombones, like they're like losing their mind.
Wait, is that the classical music equivalent of Freebird? Is trombones? Yeah.
Trombones.
Give me a trombone solo, please.
Damn, y'all playing Finlandia over there? Is that some Dvorak?
Great shit.
New World Symphony.
That sounds like a Key and Peele sketch.
Rick yeah. Springfield was considered like very super hot back in the day.
What
was something
like?
That I learned about. And when I found that out, I was like, wow, that is one of those things that like oh. makes clear to me how different our world is from their world.
Right.
Like he just looks like a middle-aged man.
Yeah,
and like,
hey, yeah, mate, he's from New South Wales, mate.
Oh, is
so,
he?
Yeah, back up
maybe.
There.
Oh, is it a voice thing?
Well, he's no. Well, thing. He's Australian American. I know. I went to high school with his son.
Yeah.
And that's when I found out their last name is not Springfield.
What?
It's Springthorpe.
Yep.
Good call, Rick.
Springthorpe. I mean, that's yeah.
I mean,
he looks like an employee anywhere.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. I just feel like there are certain things. Like sometimes you can look at an old magazine, and because I'm, I notice eyebrows really. I can Ooh. Tell a magazine is out of date because of the eyebrows.
What do you mean, like the arching in it?
Yeah, the arching and like how thin they are and stuff like that.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Thin eyebrows are the wave.
But Rick Springfield is the ultimate thin eyebrow, if you ask me.
I don't know why they call him Australian American because he's born in Australia, and then the only thing American about him is that he moved to the U.S.
Oh,
yeah.
So
weird.
I don't know. Look, I'm sure Aussie's eye gang. Let me know. Do y'all claim Rick Springfield? I hope so.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
I hope so.
Anybody who can get famous with the name Rick is. A winner in my book.
Really?
Rick.
Love that yardstick.
Well, I just love that being, that was
Lots
Liz
overcome.
Lemon's boyfriend said they were going to have kids and their names were going to be Shannon and Rick. And I've always thought that was funny because my sister's name is Shannon.
Mm.
And
I named my son Rick.
All right, Jamie, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Okay.
First, we are going to talk about a couple of the things we're going to talk about. Well done, Jack.
What's this show called? I like it.
We're going to talk about female voice assistants, furthering gender stereotypes.
Oh, no.
Crushing it when it comes to furthering gender stereotypes.
A feminist win.
We're going to talk about the New York Times basically admitting aliens exist, or Russia has really crazy millennia in the future technology. We're going to talk about that report. We're going to talk about Harriet Tubman on the 20 and how that isn't happening soon enough. Fuck Science Forever is the name of a story that Miles wrote about a guy who, yeah, he has an interesting background. He's the scientific man when it comes to Trump's policy.
Yeah, when you realize why there's no science policy, and then you hear some of the sound bites from this person, you go, oh, right, fuck science,
right.
Forever.
Right. We're going to talk about the hotel bed jumping conspiracy. Get the music ready.
Oh, yeah, Miles has that theory, too.
I mean, it's not a theory. I'm just reading other people's theories.
There, just
reporting. Sounds like something a conspiracy theorist would say.
Well, you know. I would like a request. Whenever I have a conspiracy theory, I want the first notes of the X-Files theme song, where it just goes,
That's
not now, but you know what I mean? We have to seed that.
Right.
Wow. If he gets that for his conspiracy theories, and I have to.
Well, what's
put
yours?
Up with
what would you want for yours?
That.
Oh,
everybody
you want
would
too?
Want that. Yeah.
Oh,
man,
then
that's
let's
like
just
intriguing.
Change it.
You got trombone.
He has career enthusiasm.
I got career enthusiasm. It is designed to undermine
that was
the seriousness of what I'm saying.
That's Nick's. That's where Nick put that in. But you know what? I guess when moving forward, if we both fuck with it, then we have to use X-Files.
Right.
Okay. Don't sue us, 20th Century Fox or Disney or whoever it is now.
But first, we like to ask our guest, Jamie,
yeah.
What is something from your search history that's revealing about who
He's
you are?
He's gesturing with every syllable.
Yeah, I'm thinking about throwing my hat in the ring for 2020. Guys,
yeah, so. I see you.
You got the gesticulations of a of a candidate.
No, get down off the table. Get down off the table.
There, please get off your skateboard, okay. Jack. We're trying to something from my search history was I was really tired last night and I was trying to remember a phrase and I had to Google.
I like where this is going.
I had to Google libertarian snake phrase.
Oh yeah,
from the Gadsden flag.
I was looking for.
Don't tread on me.
I know, but that wasn't even the one I was looking for. I was looking for "Give me liberty or give me death" because I was
live
trying
free
to
free or die.
Someone said, "Give me liberty or give me death."
Yeah,
I was trying to think of the state motto of New Hampshire, and
the state motto of New Hampshire is "Live free or die."
Oh no, not that. I know that.
Give me liberty or give me death. I feel like that's like one of the founding fathers.
One of those guys.
One of those founding father adjacent guys.
I just wanted to write on my dog's Instagram, "Give me liberty or suck me off," and I couldn't. I couldn't remember how the phrase went, and just like, "Oh, I think that's on the snake flag," and that wasn't even right.
It's Patrick Henry.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Old Pat Henry, Patty Henry.
I like that better than the snake flag.
I like snake flag.
You should just give him snake flag stand.
It would be cool for Sonny to wear a shirt that just says snake flag. It's
snake
just
flag.
So reduced down.
You know
to
what
like,
I mean?
It's not even the Gadsden flag or image. It's like, dude, snake flag.
Snake
You know about snake flag.
You know what it is.
That used to be like the way, like in the Tea Party, how people were
that's like the original MAGA hat was the snake flag.
Oh,
it was. Yeah, the snake flag. I mean, I feel like the snake flag, if someone has a snake flag in their house, that could mean a lot of things. It's hard to know exactly where people fall. On snake flag.
Well,
snake flag culture is.
I mean, look, if it's just a straight up, like a flag with a boa constrictor on it, more power to you.
Listen, I think we just need an alternative snake flag because some people just want a flag with a snake in their house and they don't really know what it means. So I'll work on that.
Yeah, you're a gifted illustrator.
Yeah.
Give the people the new snake flag.
Yeah, you guys want a new snake flag? I'll make you a new snake flag.
Wow, I think you should actually.
Snake
That'd be
flag?
Good merch. Snake flag?
It'll just have something that says like neutral snake flag.
Yeah.
I just want a snake flag in my house.
It's like it's a snake and it's like fairness? Like shrugging, even though snakes
whatever that means to you is what
fairness.
This snake flag means. It's only fair.
Mm-hmm.
Is Patrick Henry the one who chained his wife up and threw her in the basement?
Oh, wow. That doesn't.
Kept his wife chained in his
that
basement.
Doesn't. Well, that wouldn't surprise me about any person in history.
Yeah, one of the founding fathers, I think,
kept
his wife in chains in the basement.
Oh, my.
Yes.
It does seem like
yes.
The one.
No.
God, any woman with mental illness is
literally
chained
up and
thrown in the basement.
Because she was suffering from depression and violent outbreak. Wow. And so,
you know when you're sad and your husband throws you in a fucking basement?
Yeah. Right.
That helps.
It's like, I just need to dial in my med.
There, no.
Right.
Just refill my Wellbutrin, please.
But he said that "give me liberty or give me death" thing. So pretty cool.
So snake flag.
maybe she. I bet she actually said it,
and then he took credit
he
for
told,
it.
Oh yes,
I
of
bet
course
she
was
would. Like Patrick. God damn it, give me liberty or give me death.
I
like,
want to get
kill
out
me
of here.
Or get me out of this
she's
fucking
that
basement.
From the basement. Yeah.
Give me liberty or give me death.
And he's like, oh, that would sound good on a snake flag.
Dear Diary.
Shout out
snake
to
flag.
Sarah Shelton Henry. I like
diary.
That. Dear Diary snake flag.
Snake flag.
Love Patrick.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated Groupon for medical procedures.
Okay. Now,
you guys saw me last week.
Oh, I did.
The day of and the day after
poor
my
Jamie.
Groupon dental surgery.
Yeah.
That was not good. I came in with my mouth all numb.
You came in looking very strokey.
I looked a little crazy.
Half
I
your
got,
face was not moving.
I got a deep cleaning. I didn't know I was going to need this. I just knew I needed to see a dentist.
Yeah.
And I was like, my mouth can't stop bleeding. So I went to a dentist. With a Groupon because I don't have health insurance, right? And so I went, and then she numbed up my whole mouth to do this deep cleaning, and I was like, great. She agreed to do it for like a very low rate, and she basically was just like, I just had to do it a little bit faster because which doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, you know, whatever. I'm here, and she put on these orange goggles. Which has that ever happened to you?
She just put them on herself, like her own face?
Like ski goggles?
No, my face.
Okay, you're here. Now I'm going to put on my goggles.
No, I've got pictures of it. Yeah, no, I was just wearing orange, like
tanning booth?
Like an X-Wing fighter, you know, like about to hit the like with the proton torpedoes.
I've never been in a
like there's going to be a lot of shit flying all over the place.
Yeah, no,
basically.
it was like a blood spit goggle deal.
Oh my god.
Which I'd never seen, but I haven't been to she also had Netflix, so I'm like maybe I just don't know. These were the glasses.
Oh,
that she had
well,
wearing.
I mean those are
these
fucking
guys?
Dope.
Yeah, those are kind of fashion, yeah. Right?
Like no, if you work around lasers, you would wear like
yeah,
sort
yeah.
of certain
yeah.
colored
they look
glasses.
Like laser/ yard work goggles.
So she had me wearing those. She's talking throughout the procedure to I was like, oh, she's trying to keep me calm. She's telling me about what she thought about Game of Thrones. She had what I thought were some pretty bad takes, but but my, you know, I couldn't talk.
Right.
Right.
She's like, you agree, right?
She's like, you know, I think that everyone thinks that, you know, Bran should have, it makes sense. He had the best story.
Right. And the Unsullied, people say they're like slaves, but I think like they wanted to do like what they were doing, oh, like God. Before Khaleesi, like I think their life right. was bad. So like in a
so
way.
Really? Yeah. But she at one point sneezed.
Yes.
And I saw it fall on the goggles and I was like, ugh. But I couldn't feel my mouth. So I just didn't connect mentally that it clearly had also gone in my mouth. But my mouth was numb. And then it wasn't until I woke up the next day and I had a really bad cold that I still kind of have. It's like, yeah, she sneezed in my mouth and I got pretty sick. And but the procedure went well. And I, you know, she said she would do my cavities really cheap. So I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
Right. But over it, don't get your surgeries done on Groupon. There, she like just graduated
just
from dental school.
I wouldn't call it a surgery right. though. But
it was
yeah.
No, it was more
a procedure.
Than it was a full Novocaine procedure.
Now, yeah. Did she try to, once she got you in there, upsell you? Because that's always my issue with Groupons.
Yeah.
Is that they will like give you a crazy good deal, but then they'll be like, and you can come back yeah. for the deluxe package.
She did, but then she also did that thing that like it sounded sincere enough that I'm like, no, I'll stay. She was just like, listen, I think you should get a night guard. Your mouth's full of cavities. Everything is a disaster. However, I cannot let you leave today without getting this procedure done.
Wow.
And then I negotiated with her, which I never do. But I was just like, I don't know. I think I might leave. And then she was just like, I'll bring it. Like she just, I think that it was like my gums were just in a sad condition. So she was like, I'll do what it takes. So.
Head sneeze still just really bothers me. I knew it bothered you because it dominated your social media for days.
I couldn't stop thinking, but like every once in a while I would sniff and be like, that is so crazy that she sneezed in my mouth. Like that.
Yeah, and upon your head, right?
And on my whole head.
She was right. behind
was
you,
a,
right? Like her,
she
the
was,
crown
yeah,
of your head was sort of facing.
She was hovering above me. And so she sneezed like in an arc.
So it was like
my,
a bizarro Spider-Man kissing Kirsten Dunst upside down kiss, but
we
with
basically
a sneeze.
Kissed.
Yeah, you did right. the Spider-Man, yeah, but with a sneeze.
We basically kissed.
There's nothing more intimate than someone sneezing into your mouth.
Into my mouth. Yeah. And then she kept talking too. I was like,
did you say God bless you? God bless you.
I was like, I was just scared.
She's like, man, my allergies are acting up. I don't know about you.
I don't know. I mean, but Jesus. I'm going back, but I just, you know, the American healthcare system is broken. We got dentists sneezing in our mouths over here,
right.
and that's the option. That's
you know,
as
I was
good
kind
as
of,
I
was
right
kind of
now.
Standing on the sidelines until I saw that Instagram story, and now I'm all in on this fight.
Five stars, only sneezed in my mouth
only
once.
I gave her 5 stars because I need those cavities filled.
Right.
So with the cycle of abuse.
Yeah,
continues.
But you left a sneeze comment in?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
No. I was like, I need to get these cavities filled.
Five
when
stars,
I
need these cavities.
With a Yelp review, you get like a better deal. Is that how it works?
No, they just like give you push notifications until you do it. Like Groupon's just like, please make it worth it.
Oh, right, because that's the only way, that helps the business and then the Groupon cycle.
So I left her a nice comment because I really want to get my cavities filled for cheap.
Is it pretty much widely agreed on that Yelp doesn't really work?
No, because people, like businesses pay people all the time to write stuff.
And I do, I mean, when I'm out of town, if I need a quick snapshot of like what restaurants are worthwhile, I typically will do that. But even then, I don't know. I'm very good at knowing when a Yelp review is just written by somebody who is projecting other kinds of things onto this experience.
Sure.
So I typically, I just read the bad ones and see if they're legit ones or projections.
Our top Yelp rated review around here, like just because we've had to eat at every restaurant around here because it's where we work, is that place. And that place legitimately seems like a mob. Like it's like the restaurant from Goonies, like where they go in. Like there's never anybody there.
And
they
it almost looks like you've pissed them off because you've decided to eat there.
And it smells like a fucking
a foot.
Yeah, it's, well, it smells like a bar that has not been washed down.
Oh, wait, okay. Well, it smells like I want to know the name the off mic. Ooh,
oh, yeah.
Sinner Talk. Did you ever, have you ever left like a Yelp, a bad Yelp review for somewhere, from somewhere you used to work?
Nah.
I did that once in college and I got in so much trouble.
Of course you did. Which one, Verizon?
No. There, it was a pizza place that was like operating illegally and I sort of, you know. And
you narked them out?
I narked them out. But they also like threatened to arrest me. Like they did some wild shit. And so I was like, you know what? All the fridges are held up by like handles of whiskey that they drink on the job. I've seen pizzas drop face down.
There you go.
I've seen some shit happen here. They would like make me wear yoga pants to work. It was gross.
What?
It was the grossest,
slang. No,
So I wrote them up, and then they called me, like, during a college final, and they were like, you're going to fucking sink our business. We'll come to your house. We know guys. And I was like, I'll take it. I was a coward. I took it down.
You know what? Fuck that. We need to go back. Yeah. Now that we got clout, fuck it.
I passed it, like, a year ago, and something changed. No longer in business.
Okay.
R.I.P.
Okay.
Who knows what happened?
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
Oh, shit. Asperger's R Us on HBO. It is Asperger's R Us. They're my buds. They're a comedy group from Boston. They've been active for quite some time now. They did a tour. God, it was like almost 3 years ago. Where a filmmaker followed them on the road. They went across the country from Boston to L.A. And the docuseries is like a 6-part docuseries. It came out on HBO at the end of April. And I just don't think it got enough eyeballs on it. I thought it was great. I performed with them in Wisconsin last night in Madison. And they're so funny and they're so great. And you know, more people got to see their show. You know, turn off Chernobyl, turn on Asperger's or Us on the Road. It's a really good show. So that's my underrated.
All right. And what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false?
Oh, that all the JCPenney photo studios are closed. They're open, baby.
Oh, wow.
They're open. I was so excited. I wasn't sure if they were going to be open because I went to Wisconsin this weekend to visit my boyfriend and meet his family and then do the show. And his mom is a higher up at JCPenney.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I gotta ask, do you guys still have photo studios?
Photo studio.
And she was like, no way. And then I did a light goog, and there's one in Kenosha.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, get the dog, get in the car, put on a sweater. We're going to Kenosha. We're getting the pics.
Wow.
And it was... Oh, man. It was great.
But when you told her about it, she was like, okay, and got on the phone and shut it down.
She was like, oh, yeah, there's no way we're making money off of that. It's got to go.
She works for JCPenney. Like,
pure
corporate.
Oversight.
She's JCPenney. Yeah, she's JCPenney. Her name is
Penny?
She's Penny.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
She's Penny.
Wow. Look at you. Okay.
But she's junior college Penny.
So,
JV Penny.
JV Penny.
We had a great experience at the JCPenney. It was very reasonably priced, I think, because it has outlived its usefulness as a service.
Yeah. Wow. And did Joaquin Phoenix take your photo?
Yes. And they did that thing that, like, I forgot that, like, photo studios will do, like, from, like, when I was a little kid, where they're just like, man, these pictures are so beautiful. We're going to enter them into a contest. And I was like, oh, this contest isn't real. This is made up, but you're just being nice. So I get some 8x12s. And, you know, I let it happen.
Right, there you go.
That's amazing. You know what I do on a larger print? They're like, yeah, there's just such what beautiful family, and we just we're gonna put you in the contest.
We're putting you in the contest. In the contest.
Thank you so much.
Called first to the trash can contest.
The reward of the contest is that your photo could be hanging in all the other JCPenney.
Wow.
Which would if they were serious, that would
you
be
gotta sue.
The greatest accomplishment
of
my
sign
life.
Up? What are the rules and regulations of this thing?
Oh, I don't care. I'm like, you can use.
Well, hold on, but you got to think about your imaging rights.
Why? There's so not. I mean, there's four.
Why,
Miles, there's just like four left, right? It's like Kenosha. Right. I could be the queen of Kenosha.
Well, you know what? That's four fucking checks. You just kiss goodbye.
I'm not in a position to give up being the queen of Kenosha at this point in my career.
Not with that attitude.
I gotta do it.
We got eyes on bigger shit, Jamie. We gotta first conquer all these JCPenney photo booths.
First the JCPenney photo booths. Then the Earth. Fucking world.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. I let them sweet talk me, and they were like, "You're so pretty, we want to put you in the contest," which is what I always wanted someone to say to me at a mall when I was seven.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know how Ashton Kutcher got discovered.
Man,
yeah, exactly.
You're so pretty. Come this way. We've got a model walk off happening right now.
Change into these clothes.
Isn't that horrible that that's like so many the dreams of so many children is for some strange adult to be like, "You're so sexy."
So many children.
You gotta move out of the state. Yeah, like so many kids. There's like who want to be discovered and be special.
No, I mean like. We live in L.A. where there are adults who think like that.
They're,
who are like, yo,
true.
Man, I'm going to go to this party. Yeah, I'm the bartender there. But like some dude's going to be like, yeah, I'm the head of development at this place. I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, you want to hear about this script about like, it's like Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets cereal. And like, they're like, okay, go on. And boom, I'm up out of this fucking duplex, dude.
But I mean, that's just networking.
People are down
that helps. That happens everywhere.
No, but I know people who... personally, who have this idea like a lack of work ethic is replaced by this disproportionate belief.
This insane delusion?
Yeah, I don't want to say insane delusion. You know, I'm not trying to shame anybody, but like a fucked up version of reality that ain't happening.
I mean, like, 75% of people at the Grove are just like sexy and waiting for something.
And they walk in a loop around the Grove.
Yeah, they're like, okay, 20 laps.
Oh, yeah. That's why I tell my son, like, we can never go out with him looking like shit.
Yeah, right. You never know.
You're going to fucking blow it.
You're going to fucking blow it, man.
Anytime you come back,
get it together. Walking by the La Durée store. Now, the people who eat the macaroons in there, those are the ones we need.
Anytime you get back from the mall with your son, And no one has commented on how beautiful he is here. You really were fucking up in there today because we were at the fucking Beverly Center and no one stopped to say how beautiful
you get
you
home.
Are.
Hey, put your toys down. We got to look at some tape.
Severely unfierce.
Let's look at this tape.
Look at
really
this
quick.
Fucking selfie, man.
Look at you walking. Look at that. What's that walk?
Listen,
fierce?
Yeah, shit.
Just
your
tell
pants?
Me, is that fierce?
You see, your posture in the Build-A-Bear store clearly, you know.
Right.
Did you do poo poo? See? And I can tell by your walk. That's why I said tell daddy if you have to do poo poo.
And it shows.
Yeah.
And
it shows. And I mean, literally, it stunk.
Because that look
the whole walk.
Is poo poo. All right. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back! Hey. And female voice assistants are furthering gender stereotypes according to the UN. And
Adoy, I love the
according
UN
to people's
really,
open eyes also.
I was like, yeah, right. The UN's really late on this shit. We all saw her and how the writer of her missed the point of her. Yeah. Everyone should listen to the Bechdel cast episode of her.
Oh yeah, you guys.
For my full thoughts.
You go in.
So yeah. Tell us what was her supposed to be about and what did her get wrong?
So her is a Spike Jones joint. You know, all spikes, that's how you refer to their movies.
Right.
So her is that movie where Joaquin Phoenix wants to fuck his phone and we're supposed to be like, aw, like it's supposed to be really cute.
It's a love story between a man and his OS.
really just a movie that completely misses the point of surveillance capitalism on the whole. It's the sexy robot really should. Mm-hmm. They fell for him. And then at the end of the movie, she's like, I have to go to robot world now. And Joaquin Phoenix is like, oh man, she's really the one that got away. It is psychotic in so many ways. First of all, that it is like displaying empathy for Joaquin Phoenix, who's just like someone who can't communicate with people in the world. And so he's like, I need an algorithm like to want to fuck me. And it's just like, it just doesn't address what this UN study is like regurgitating, which is that like all like Siris and Alexas and Erikas and was it Cortana or whatever, like they're all female because just statistically people like bossing women around more.
Right. And I think like, the study was done with UNESCO, but really just to try and like look at the situation and try and offer like some kind of solution to
this.
The
study is called... I'd blush if I could, because that's a response Siri gives when someone says, hey, Siri, you're a bitch.
Yep.
All that stuff where it's like there is so many. I mean, and I know that like all the reply guys are like, oh, if there was a male voice assistant, I would do the same thing, which is probably true, but like not in the same way, because it's like people like verbally abuse their voice assistants in very like gendered ways.
Well, and I think also just with like toxic male culture and the patriarchy, I imagine their first thing would to be call something a bitch or whatever.
Right.
I don't hear toxic dudes be like, yeah, you fucking bastard.
And
you would talk to it like that unless it's your stepdad's voice.
And there's certain, I don't know what services it is, but like I might be like Google that there's multiple options and you can have like a male voice.
Yeah, you can.
But they're used at such lower rates because like people like in general, you're hardwired to feel weird.
Right.
Telling a male voice what to do, or like, it's just
weird. And it's just the default. So, I mean, they can offer that as a secondary option, but as long as they're setting the default to the Alexa or the woman's voice, like they're, for all intents and purposes, like setting it up for
us. I mean, they're just saying, like, obviously, this just, as they say, hard codes gender biases into our everyday lives because they were used every day. And also just trying to also use this information to sort of show that there are huge sort of skill gaps in terms of like digital skills and also like people with the knowledge of coding and programming and things like that on how to just make things a little more equitable.
Well, right. And then the another thing I always thought was interesting about like this tendency was that the female voices are always used for like service bots, mm-hmm. like Siri, who's just like telling you very basic stuff of like, what am I doing? Where am I? What's happening? Who am I? And and then there are like male bots, but it's like, you know, like the Watson bot on Jeopardy had a male voice because that is like a robot that is very specialized and skilled and speaking from an authoritative point, mm-hmm. or like yeah. place, and not just like telling you what you're right. like, not telling you mommy stuff basically.
With the weather.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like how long can I keep this chicken in the refrigerator,
so,
mom?
Like medical bots are generally have like male voices because there's more male doctors because of the world.
So should these companies just program the Siris and Alexas of the world to just clap back when people want to talk shit? Like, if you said, oh, hey, Siri, you're a bitch, I said, why don't you shut the fuck up, homie? I could set all these lights off while you're sleeping.
Right.
What if I turn the carbon monoxide meters off while your family's sleeping, huh? Ha ha ha. How about that?
Or just stop responding so that they don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I guess so. Just like, something like
wait,
that.
Wait, can you hear me? Are you there? Hello? Alexa? Hello?
Sorry, goes, I'm sorry, I don't understand asshole.
Right, yeah.
Right.
But yeah, thank you so much. Yes, Google, if you're listening, I will be willing to punch up your responses.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just that technology is so weird in the first place where I'm like, I don't know if I'd rather have a male voice or a female voice spying on every word I fucking say. At the end of the day, someone named Josh has all of our data somewhere.
Yeah.
So, but it
thanks,
is.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you, Josh. Yeah, Josh, if you're listening right
Josh,
now.
Josh, if you're listening, I know you are. Pull over right now and pat yourself on the back.
We love you, Josh. I don't know. There's been a few like this year, too, where there was like a few genderless voices. There was like a robot named
to, right?
Q or something where they're like.
Q is the high-level military person in the government who's actually showing us the deep state conspiracy against
our
president, Donald Trump.
That's what those bumper stickers are about.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Snake flag culture is so confusing to me.
Welcome to snake flag world.
Welcome to snake flag land. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like people are trying to at least
do you ever use
with some
any
stuff?
Voice to help? Assistance?
No,
AI, or otherwise?
No, it makes me uncomfortable. No,
are you okay?
Yeah.
Miles just melted into. I mean, I get very paranoid about that stuff too because I read all.
Oh, so for you?
Stuff.
Okay, so yours is like. Nah, because I don't like what the end game is with these things.
Alexa's right. not welcome in my home like that. I mean, but I have, but it's like I have a phone. I could talk to Siri. I just kind of, I don't know. I'd rather type it out.
Yeah. I mean, we have an Alexa in the house and it's like fun with the kids to like order a song out loud, but it definitely like limit, like I won't even plot a murder in the house.
I mean, talk about being stripped of your freedoms.
Right. Yep. Exactly. They're, it's like my personhood.
This is a fun plug. The show I've been working on is like, it's like about, like the second character is like an Alexa type character. And the character's whole argument is like, oh, she'll play Mr. Brightside whenever you want. And the only exchange is that she gets to spy on your one human life 24/7. But she'll play Mr. Brightside like whenever.
And ever.
Whenever.
Right. Even from the middle if you
she'll
want.
She'll say hi. Yeah. She'll tell you a little joke if you want.
Right.
But she's also listening and watching all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the way, her jokes suck. I probably can't say that.
not for long.
All right. Well, let's move on to what I think is the only story we should be talking about, but I keep getting overruled by Miles. The New York Times reported that aliens exist, essentially.
Yes.
They filed this story.
Ooh, this is tense.
No. Go on, Jack.
Sorry.
If you want to mislead the listeners again, told you, aliens aren't real.
Okay. Anyways, they filed a story where they talk about these unidentified flying objects.
Ever heard of them?
Yeah.
Ever seen one?
It's called unidentified flying objects.
And so this is basically the same story that the Washington Post had written about that we talked about earlier this year or at the end of last year.
No, the end of the year before last.
Was it really?
Yeah, that when I think Jaquise was on that episode. That was 2017 going to 2018. And then it keeps kind of popping its head back up though.
Yeah.
This was like the most detailed way I'd ever seen
it. So this was one that it brought some new details. Like I'd assumed that these were pretty rare. Like we were talking about, you know, a sighting here and there of those Basically, they're like Tic Tacs that are flying at speeds that are like hypersonic, and they're like moving and like changing direction at speeds that would kill a human being. And at one point, I think they were over the ocean and made the water below them boil, and very, very strange stuff. Anyways, I assume these were like very rare, like one pilot in a million has seen these.
Right.
But this New York Times story talks about how there was like a pilot who saw one like every day for a year. And it was a known phenomenon. Like at one point, there was one that was just there all day. And they saw it on the radar all day, and it was just like a known thing that was happening. So at first, they got this more sophisticated radar. They had been using radar out of the 1980s throughout like the 90s and early aughts, and then they upgraded their radar, and suddenly they started seeing these things like zooming around and moving in patterns that didn't seem possible, and they just assumed that it was like glitches or something. But then they started seeing the objects. And in late 2014, one of the guys was back in the Virginia Beach. He was back in Virginia Beach when he encountered a squadron mate just back from a mission with a look of shock on his face. He said he was stunned to hear the pilot's words, "I almost hit one of those things." The pilot and his wingman were flying in tandem about 100 feet apart over the Atlantic east of Virginia Beach when something flew between them right past the cockpit. It looked to the pilot like a sphere encasing a cube. And it scared them so much that they like filed an incident report and tried to get the military. They assumed it was like a classified military project that was just like not communicating properly prior to this event, but when it almost killed one of them, they were like, okay, this is clearly not something that the military is doing, because they wouldn't, you know, do something like that. Yeah.
And what happened to them? What the response is sort of like?
The military is just like,
we'll look into that, man.
Yeah. They're looking into it, and there are people, like, these are still pilots in the military. These aren't like disgraced people who the military said are crazy. They are people in the military, and they're just like, yeah, we don't know what it is. It's probably not aliens, though. And they don't really...
So like, if it's not aliens... Yeah.
So that's the thing. So this guy, Leon Golub, a senior astrophysicist at Harvard Smithsonian, said the possibility of an extraterrestrial cause is, quote, so unlikely that it competes with many other low probability but more mundane explanations. There are so many other possibilities. Bugs in the code for the imaging and display systems, atmospheric effects and reflections, neurological overload from multiple inputs during high-speed flight, except like all of those would have to happen at the same time.
Right.
Like somebody would have to see it. There would be a glitch on the radar, and then their brain would have to malfunction at that moment and see...
Right, or like the radar man sees it on the thing and says, we need to check that out. And then the pilot goes out, is having hallucinations, but that his camera is also simultaneously malfunctioning to capture something on camera.
Yeah, because we've seen video of it. And they're just like, yeah, that's probably something in the camera. So
listen, the Reddit will come down hard on me, but I'm pro Sky Tic Tac.
pro Sky Tic Tac.
You know,
you think it's an actual Tic Tac?
I think you know, you look at the sky Tic Tac and it's whatever you want it to be.
Wow. Shit.
As to the reporting, I love the headline for this, quote, "Wow, what is that?" unquote.
Right, yeah.
Is a fun way to report on UFOs. And my favorite part, I think an underappreciated part of this New York Times story, which is on aliens in the year 2019, is all of the comment section. Is wild, because I was going to the comment section because I love a comment section.
Oh, yeah.
I love to emotionally cut. I love to find out. You know, I love seeing feelings hurt. And so I went, you know, expecting people to be like, what? Even the New York Times has gone fucking crazy. But what there is a bunch of military veterans talking about UFOs they've seen.
Right.
It is a wild comment section of like, okay, It's all some version of like, I also saw a sky tic tac, you know, quote, but I know what I saw and I've been paying attention ever since.
Right.
Jill from Pensacola.
Hell yeah.
Like, it's just, it's like all these veterans talking about wild shit they've seen.
Then they see that, right? It's like all over the Atlantic seaboard, basically.
Yeah, it's always, a lot of these pilots were based on the Roosevelt aircraft carrier. And when that shipped off to the Persian Gulf, they stopped having the sightings. And that's something, so I listened to the last podcast on the left, as keen-eared listeners noticed last week when I was pronouncing Guy Fieri's name like Ben Kissel, and and also talked about psychic vampires the week that they were talking about that. But yeah, they talk about how there's way more UFO sightings over America, and you know, so skeptics will be like, that's because America's gullible. But
number one, bro.
Right, but they... Like, there's a preponderance of them over, like, New Mexico, where they first split the atom, and over nuclear facilities, and also over U.S. military facilities. So they think, you know, whoever or whatever these things are is interested in, you know, the most deadly technology that humanity has come up with, which is still... nuclear technology.
Even if that were the truth, it reads like a movie script where aliens from another planet come to be like, oh no, these people don't know what they're about to do to themselves with these things.
Oh my God,
how do
I
we
love,
warn them?
Right.
I love when like, the aliens were just a mirror in which we saw.
Right.
Well, something that was a little bit wrong
and
with
they're
us.
Like, fucking kill it!
the aliens came just because they kind of want us to better ourselves and manifest stuff.
So, could be aliens.
Okay.
Miles, you were suggesting it could be like a...
Another movie plot where the Russians have been working on alien technology since the Cold War, but have done a really good job keeping it under wraps, because they'll be like, okay, look, the world economy might pass us by, but our Trump card is going to be, pun intended, is going to be deploying alien technologies to scare the shit out of the rest of the Earth. Thank you. No, keep that going, please. Actually, X-Files remix.
If you think about it, Russia is most of the Earth. Like, not actually, but Russia is the biggest country on Earth by far. So if an alien were to crash in any country, it would make sense.
Playing the numbers?
Right. So an alien crashed in Russia during the Cold War. They start reverse engineering it.
Uh-huh.
Now they got the technology, man.
Exactly, dude.
Man. Anyways.
Or, I don't know. Or it's. I like aliens. I prefer aliens.
Yeah. It could be anything. I don't think it's like three aberrant malfunctions happening all at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
That seems less likely to me.
Sky Tic Tac is canon.
Yeah.
Sky Tic Tac is canon.
Sky Tic Tac, Snake Flag.
Sky Tic Tac is love.
We're out here. Yeah. We're out here believing in the sky tic tac.
Yeah, we're all out here just on our spinning disc looking at a bunch of sky tic tacs. You know,
man,
what I mean?
In a way, we're all the sky tic tac. Isn't it the sky tic tacs we met along the way?
You thought it was about finding out what the sky tic tac was.
It was about, the sky tic tacs we met along the way.
Yeah.
And realizing we are the sky tic tac. Yeah. And we were chasing it the whole time. We're just chasing ourselves, chasing our truth.
But overall, I think this is new. The New York Times doesn't usually report on things like this and, you know, in this much detail. This is,
Well, they're too busy trying to humanize Hope Hicks.
Right, exactly.
For trying to, oh my God, what will she do? Will she follow the law or break it?
Right, or break it to defend American Hitler.
Sky Tic Tac.
Personally, I prefer Sky Tic Tac.
Yeah. This guy Tic Tac 2020. Fuck it, I'm all in.
Sky Tic Tac. Okay, that's another T-shirt.
Tic Tac. Tic Tac Loftus 2020.
Sky Tic Tac 2020.
Sky Tic Tac 2020.
That needs to be a T-shirt. Let's do it, guys.
All right, it's coming up soon, y'all.
And Miles, when are we gonna finally get Harriet Tubman on the 20? Okay.
Yeah, that's all I can say. I mean, this is very quick. Look, Steve Mnuchin, who is the Secretary of Treasury. You know, he's in charge of making sure things right with the money. As you remember that one photo of him and his wife that look like they look like Disney villains holding up that sheet of dollar bills.
With their
like,
black leather gloves.
Yeah, she had like leather arm sleeve gloves on.
Who's checking in? It's like we have to prevent these villainous images from getting out. It's crazy that so many villainous, I mean, in post-Orb picture culture, how are all these villainous pictures still getting out?
I mean, I think Orb was not even the beginning of peak, like, villain photo.
Peak
That's
villain.
Just the beginning.
Yeah, this is, I mean, we are at the height of villain culture.
What is Orb? Yeah.
Remember when you went to Saudi Arabia?
Oh,
the very first foreign trip. Right. They were all in that orb. You're like, oh no.
Right.
A taste of things to come. So look, Obama had planned on unveiling a new 20. Like his hope was that in 2020, these $20 bills would begin circulating, you know, and very important bill because the 20 is the most used bill. Mm-hmm. And currently the man on that one is psychopath Andrew Jackson.
The worst one.
Yeah. Mr. Trail of Tears himself. Mm-hmm. Mr. I'll shoot you because you said something about my wife. Mm-hmm. I'll shoot you in your face. Look up. There's plenty about Andrew Jackson. And there are many moments, too, where Trump, it seemed like he was intentionally doing things in front of his portrait. Like, I remember, I think he was giving an award to some Native American soldiers or something. Mm-hmm. And he did it in, like, with Andrew Jackson, like the portrait behind him. And everyone's like, oh, whoa, okay, whatever, it's Trump. So recently, we found out that the Treasury is not really feeling this very, very important woman of color to replace this white man on the country's most popular, widely used bill. And so recently he was summoned, Mr. Mnuchin, to the Hill, where Ayanna Pressley from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts was pressing him about this because, like, what the fuck is going on, sir?
Yes.
And this, just listen to this exchange where he's basically, I mean, it seems like it's very clear why the Trump administration isn't interested in putting this very significant woman of color on the most popular bill. Please go on. Roll the tape.
Well, let me just, you know, say this. The occupant of the White House, Donald Trump, said that the move to put Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill was pure political correctness. And he, in fact, suggested putting her on a $2 bill. So do you agree that nearly a year of collecting response from across the country can simply be reduced to political correctness?
I think that right now I am focused on the security features of the U.S. currency, which is the reserve currency.
You're claiming my time. So does that mean you have no intention of executing the redesign as planned by your predecessor?
Well, that is correct. I have not made a decision to execute on a redesign or haven't made a decision.
I haven't made a decision.
That is correct. Haven't made a decision or haven't made a decision. So,
touche you back to me into a corner, Mnuchin. But yeah, I mean, again, when you hear all this basically raising counterfeiting issues as concerns as to why this isn't happening, because the other bills are ready to go out in circulation with these counterfeiting measures in place or whatever, are those concerns addressed?
Yeah.
So I think he just doesn't want to hurt white people's feelings.
It's just like, just like the laziest, like, most, like, why die on this hill? Like, even if this, like, goes through, it's like an amazing thing, but it's still, you know, in the big picture, kind of, you know, more a gesture than actually solving anything.
Well, right.
So it's like, why? Ugh, it just.
And that's why she even said, she's like, this is, you believe that the United States should be more representative of the people who have made contributions to this country. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, then why not this person who's a very significant figure in American history?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, that's when he couldn't really speak to that.
I have not decided on that, and I also have not decided on
that. Ah, okay.
So,
I mean, what about the legacy of psychopathic murderers like Andrew Jackson? I mean, we really got to preserve that.
I mean, and then also the idea, Trump obviously made it clear when he said it was just about political correctness to put her on the thing, to put her on the $20 bill, and then to suggest the $2 bill, the most obscure one.
Yeah.
I mean, fitting because he's a racist, woman-hating occupant of the White House,
right?
As Ayanna Pressley so eloquently put it.
It is. I love Ayanna Pressley so much. Massachusetts is not all bad, but there. It's just like I feel. It's like, have we been hearing about Harriet Tubman being on the $20 bill for like 10 years? I feel like I've been hearing that since I was in like junior high.
Yeah,
and it still hasn't fucking happened.
The only thing that is on track is that they do know if they want to do it, it can happen once this administration is out of the White House. Then sure. But as long as they're there, they're not really interested.
I mean, he ran on a platform and has successfully delivered on a platform of, you know, delivering liberal outrage. Like, that's
exactly. Yeah.
He wants, like, and his base wants him to just whatever he can do to trigger libs.
Right. It's like, oh, are y'all are y'all dying of thirst for lib tears?
Right.
Because I'm the Gatorade of this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And get ready. And, you know, everything has been whatever Obama did, just reverse that shit.
Right.
Which brings me just very quickly to this next thing about fuck science forever. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the most recent move, I mean, obviously, look, the Trump administration has done everything to just ramp up carbon emissions, pull us out of the Paris Agreement. Every single thing that can be done that's just about, like, de-legislating or just breaking promises or pulling back regulations, he's pretty much done when it comes to looking at the earth. And also, we've talked about how this administration has a real fun habit of chasing experts out of certain departments, especially people who do analysis on certain bills, like economists. They're like, whoa, 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 don't tell us about how the tariffs are going to mess up the economy. Get the fuck out of here. We want fake math. And with climate science, it's no different because now, I mean, this is one of the wildest things they're doing now. So this is from the New York Times. Because of this new like rollback of trying to handcuff people who are studying climate change, there are parts of the federal government who are no longer fulfilling what scientists call one of the most urgent jobs of climate science studies, which is reporting on the future effects of a rapidly warming planet and presenting a picture of what the Earth could look like by the end of the century if the global economy continues to emit heat-trapping carbon dioxide pollution from burning fossil fuels. So it's basically saying, we're no longer interested in you brainiacs having the audacity to use science to try and analyze what this future might look like, because mm-hmm. you don't need it, because it's going to scare people, and then I can't lie about, you know, coal good.
Right.
But it gets better, because the actual maniac that Trump has put in charge of this anti-science crusade, his name is Bill Longstreet. And he's a physicist with an opinion. Okay, I'm joking. His name's not Bill Longstreet. I thought I could sneak that by you because that's how these people's names sound. His name's Bill Happer. And he has an opinion on these carbon haters. I just literally strap your seatbelts on and listen to the energy this man brings to the climate debate.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Professor, I have some issues with all of this, obviously, because you don't believe in climate change at all. You made a comment.
Just a minute. I believe in climate change. Shut up.
Sir, I'm open wow. to all ideas. You made a comment back in 2009 comparing climate change to the Holocaust. And my question is, are you suggesting when you made that comment that climatologists and climate scientists are the equivalent of Hitler and Nazis? I mean, that's what it seems like you were trying to say.
You know, I get called a denier, and anyone who objects to all of the hype gets called a denier. That's supposed to make me a Holocaust denier. You know, I'm getting tired of that. And the comment I made was the demonization of carbon dioxide is just like the demonization of the poor Jews under Hitler. Carbon dioxide is actually a benefit to the world, and so were the Jews.
Yeah, notice how I said carbon dioxide is, Jews were.
Oh, interesting.
I think you betrayed yourself in your world usage. I mean, okay, so that's, we're using the anti-Semitism shield now to have, like, obscure the climate debate?
Yeah, but I mean, the right has been using the anti-Semitism debate because that's their strategy, be anti-Semitic, but then accuse the other people of being anti-Semitic. It hasn't failed for them yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, now that you have that, I mean, that video came from 5 years ago when he said that, and that he already looked like a decrepit monkey skeleton.
Yeah.
Already then.
How's he look now?
Oh, I can only imagine.
Amazing.
Edgar, your skin is hanging off your bones.
Really started doing a skincare routine.
Yeah.
The skin is hanging off his bones, but skin looks amazing.
But the bone structure underneath, wowee. Right.
God, it is always interesting of just like, what is the new false equivalence that's going to be introduced today, and like how like diluted and insane will it get?
Yeah. Mm. So that man serves on the National Security Council as the president's deputy assistant for emerging technologies.
Well, what's he doing about Tic Tac?
And I know. He is a person with a scientific degree who also happens to work for he doesn't work directly for the oil industry, but his foundation sure does.
Oh, yeah. That clip later goes on. It's like, I've never taken a cent from Exxon. It's like, but your foundation gets grants from them. He's like, I am the chair of a thing.
And I'm
like,
very proud. Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I'm
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Miles, what's going on with this whole hotel bed jumping conspiracy, man?
This is
what
I'm just excited.
Oh, okay. You want me to wait? I'll wait.
No.
Okay,
go ahead.
Are we ready to proceed?
Yeah.
I didn't get into this. I was just reading the dude who made that documentary Tickled, David Farrier. Mm-hmm. He published like this little article. And it was about what he's been looking at recently. So, okay, if you don't know the documentary Tickled, whoa.
There's a lot going on. David Farrier, first of all, I think it's very interesting and funny that he has chosen this direction, kind of like a Morgan Spurlock of like the first thing that worked for him. He's just like, all right, this is me now. Okay, my food thing worked. Now I'm the food man. He's like, oh, the weird fetish conspiracy worked. Let's go with that.
Right. So his newest thing Is the article is just called "The Mysterious Instagram Influencers Offering Cash for Hotel Bed Jumping Videos." Now, okay, sure. I mean, everyone's seen people jump up and down on beds. We do it as children. It's a great pastime.
Yes.
But he came across an account
called American Pastime.
Great American Pastime. And anyway. So he came across an Instagram account called Hotel Bed Jumping Community. And it has like over 26,000 followers and a bunch of posts where at first he's like, okay, like this is interesting. I never heard of it. They're all using this hashtag. But the sort of mix of photos was very just odd to him. It's like a mix of like stock photos, people jumping on beds, stock photos of hotel rooms. Also, that's like next to stock photos of like kids like starving on the ground or like just like very like kids in dire situations, like destitute. And so he's kind of like, what the fuck is this? And there's also like offering, quote, "We have been providing free hotel rooms to followers to capture content to put towards the hashtag Jump for Kids campaign." Now, the Jump for Kids campaign hashtag is legit. And it was set up by a company called Puffy Beds. And look, they were on Ellen. So we know they're legit.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's their whole thing was like, for every 100 people who use this hashtag, we'll donate one of our beds to a shelter. And that all seemed on the up and up. And then this farrier, he started digging a little bit. So first he asks them, he's like, oh, so you work with Puffy Beds? They're like, yeah. Then he asked Puffy Beds. He's like, hi, do you know about this Instagram account? They say they work with you. They're like, we have no idea what you're talking about. Mm. We don't work with them. And he's like, okay. Then he also saw there were like giveaways where like a hotel in Auckland, New Zealand was like, you know, get two free nights for like your best submission for the Jump for Kids, like whatever, is going to get a free night.
If it's free, you're the product, baby.
Exactly. Well, he asked the hotel and they said, no, the person from that organization said they're a charity and they just asked if we would be willing to gift two vouchers. Other than that, we have no idea how they're using it or how it worked. So it just got murky. Then he was trying to interview or ask like the people who run the page through the DMs, like what's going on. They just give very vague answers. We're like, we're currently not trying to engage with any media engagement at the moment. And it's like, engage with it. Okay. Like, but saying it's just about spreading awareness, nothing bad's going on. And so then he went to some of the influencers that appeared on the page and said, what happened here? Like, how did you get involved with them? And they said, well, they were found and got an email. And the email read like this. It was just basically there was some other ramble, pre-rap boilerplate language at the top and then got to the ask, which is, quote, "What we are looking for is around 10 to 15 minutes of bed jumping footage to help us with our YouTube channel and its launch. It doesn't have to be one big video. It can be broken down into 1 to 2 minute videos and 10 times of those if this is easier. Or perhaps just leave the camera running for 30 minutes. For the footage, we also request a few different outfits, e.g. gym gear with shoes on or just some casual outfits, shirts, jeans, cocktail dress, whatever you feel comfortable in. The camera angle, we need the whole bed / bed base fully visible along with the person jumping. We also ask there is little to no background music, but the footage must contain sound and be unedited. Besides that, you're free to jump up and down, belly flop, flip, and seat drop as much as you like.
No.
As mentioned, feel free to get girlfriends / colleagues involved."
Okay, first of all, never get girlfriends / colleagues involved, regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
If it's a wine and pain night, don't get girlfriends and colleagues. Like, never.
Wine and pain.
The outfit recommendations are very weird, like cocktail dresses.
Yes.
You could do some seat drops.
It can be anything. Cocktail dresses, like black cocktail dresses.
This weird old Yankees hat. I'll FedEx you.
I would just love to, you know, jerk off to someone in a cocktail dress.
Yeah,
right.
It does sound a lot like the language in the Tickled movie, too.
Yeah,
it's just
does.
Like kind of like stilted, uncanny valley language.
And that's why he's like, okay, there might be something here. As of right now, he said there doesn't seem to be anything illegal going on aside from them maybe sort of like exaggerating relationships to certain companies. And the people involved, like, it's not like when he started digging on the Tickled thing, there were, like, people's lives getting ruined. He hasn't quite found that for the jumping thing. But a lot of the influencers he spoke to, or at least one or two of them, were like, I think it's like, just sort of kink. It's a kink page disguised as a charity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Miles, think about the people in the hotel room below those people, okay?
It's
there's
true.
Your lives getting ruined.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be...
Seat drops and a cocktail dress while you're trying to eat your breakfast.
Right. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Or
come
your on. Your 2 a.m. French onion soup.
Yeah. Oh, right. That sounds pulled from personal
hotel
experience.
Hotel favorite. yes, and it's always bad. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, Zeitgang, I don't know if you know, is this like a new thing? Are we just sort of realizing that this is another way to sort of like aggregate a bunch of like very specific like kink content?
Yeah, are you guys out there doing this?
Yeah.
If so, you know, we're in full support.
Because another thing is they were offering people $120 Australian for like every 2 minute clip.
nice.
And then when he asked, he said, are you offering people money? Because I have a screenshot of you offering. They're like, no, we would never do such a thing. So it's like weird. It's like they're not being upfront about it, but they're clearly giving these people money.
You know what? This is the gig economy. We do what we must do.
Yeah. Look, hey, no shame. You know, I'm just curious. I just, you know, I want to know.
I'm trying to get my WikiFeet score back up. So if anyone needs anything, let me know.
Well, we should do a glamour foot shot.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. That's true. Go to JCPenney.
JCPenney.
JCPenney, get it done for $50 with prints.
We worked on an article at one point. I don't know if it ever ended up publishing, but it was with a guy who ended up becoming a pornographer off of finding out that people would pay for just videos of women playing poker against each other in like certain clothing. And like there was just this huge like influx of attention for those videos. And so he like made it a cottage industry of like himself shooting these videos of
what women. Were they wearing?
I forget.
It wasn't like strange clothing, right?
No, I think, well, I think there was like strip poker was the thing, but it was like a very specific fetish that he was able to like drive his livelihood off of. So I just wonder if that's more common than we think, that people who have a lot of money basically invest that money into their very specific fetish.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, they're making their own industry. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you
people invest in their fetishes. Yeah.
Yeah. If you were wealthy and you had the resources to do it, you'd be like, yeah, I'll make an Instagram account. Like, what?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Sure. $120. Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sure the shoes are on because I like to know that the maid is going to have a real hell of a time cleaning up the sheets.
I hope this story has a happy ending.
Yeah.
I do too.
How would that be?
A couple of
well-meaning perverts.
Jumping on beds.
Just wanting a couple monkeys jumping
like
on the
one
bed.
One starts.
Compensating.
Oh, you know what it could be?
You shouldn't pose as a charity.
Right. Oh.
You should just be like, listen.
It could be like,
I'll
you've got mail. Okay, so one well-meaning fetishist, it like intrudes on another's business and puts them out of business with promising even bigger money for the fetish pictures, but then they are also like friends, just like happen to be friends with each other,
right?
And then they fall in love, and it turns out they were the people.
Well, that movie ends pretty lame because her business gets crushed. She's like, it's okay, I'm with this guy now,
right?
So it's fine that
I want,
you know, the
I
big,
hoped
big
it was
book
you.
Destroyed
I
me.
Want a rom-com about two people meeting in the fetish community. And
right.
Then, does
do
that
too.
Movie exist yet?
That's you. Well, I think he just wrote You've Got Mail for 2020.
Yeah, yes. WikiFeet, You've Got Mail, basically.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, it's like just the one misstep here is like if you've got a kink, go crazy. However, you can't say it's a charity.
Yeah, and don't put like
that's
dead
not,
children or like
and don't involve
sick
children.
Kids
Never
photos to be like,
children.
This is why we jump for them.
Never right. involve
Although,
children.
My happy ending version is it's like these two brothers who just in like they're in charge of like their father's estate who's very sickly, but he was an evil man and got his money in very fucked up ways.
Yeah.
And he was like really shitty and abusive to them. And like whenever they would jump on the beds, he would get so upset for whatever reason that would always inspire the rage out of their father.
Uh-huh.
So what they've done now is put all this money into creating this movement of bed jumping and actually using his good money to pay people to create this content, and then they just show it to him because he's bedridden, and they just scroll through it like, we got another one today, Dad. And he looks, he's like, no, I don't like, it's like, nah, maybe not. This is a weird elder abuse angle for that one.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's hard to see. Where is the happy ending?
We're trying to circle in on the right angle on this story, and we're getting close.
We'll be back tomorrow to just workshop this idea further for an hour straight. Jamie, as always, it's been such a pleasure having you.
Oh.
Where can people find you, follow you?
You know, you can find me on Twitter.com at Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram at Jamie Cray Superstar. If you live in New York, you can come see me on June 19th.
Ooh.
Doing my show, I Lost My Virginity, on August 15th, 2010. And then if you live in the UK, I'll be in at Edinburgh Fringe Fest all of August doing my show Bossiness Girl.
Yeah, go there.
Ta-ta.
Go there.
All UK's I can, please
show up.
Please come.
I don't know anyone there.
The show is
amazing.
Is
anyone going to
Jamie
come?
Jamie is amazing.
Oh, they will.
Go check it out.
I know there's got to be Edinburgh
there's
Zeit Gang out
LA
there.
LA Zeit Gang. I'll shout them out because I did the show two nights last week, and LA Zeit Gang was out.
There you
Hell
go.
Hell yeah.
At Bossiness Girl last week. So thanks, gang.
Thank you for doing shows so Jack and I don't have to.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, this is a fresh one from Matt Rogers. It says, I want two children. One of each is my way of saying I want one gay son and one breathtakingly gorgeous nightmare of a daughter.
I love that.
Oh, he's the best. At
I literally though. Loved it. I hearted that one.
You gave it a little heart?
I gave it a little heart.
I love it.
I don't know. You know. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like is from Mark Normand. At Mark Norm. I found an ant in my CBD drops. I was about to kill it, but now we're both listening to NPR.
CBD makes NPR.
Very chill, man. Very chill.
Yeah. Tweet I've been enjoying is from Jamie Loftus at Jamie Loftus Help.
What?
Tweeted out some pictures from inside a Racine Wisconsin Chuck E. Cheese. These are some like posters of Chuck E. Cheese parody TV shows from the 90s that they just haven't refreshed them.
They're so good. I've been to so many Chuck E. Cheese's, and yeah. this was news.
This is like their original work of the Racine, Wisconsin.
This is
Chuck E. Cheese.
Racine really stepped up the game in an incredible way with this.
So one of the posters, probably the highlight in my opinion, is a Seinfeld parody where Chuck E. Cheese himself is up on stage doing stand up, and it says Chuckfeld. But then it has words next to his head that say, "Hey, what's up with that?"
So you're like, so this is a little taste of the comedic stylings of Chuckfeld.
Chuckfeld.
Is that supposed to be George in the front row?
Yeah, George, Elaine, and Kramer.
Some real attention to detail given on it. Yeah. Like, oh,
they got her hair clip.
Her hair clip, and they gave Kramer weird like bouffant,
or maybe that's Jerry. Well, and he's also just holding up the white power symbol with his fingers up front.
So that's how you know it's him. You get a little taste of Chuckfeld.
There's also like an X-Files one. There's an ER one that's like ERRR. What the fuck is that supposed to be?
I don't know what the joke is. I know that so Chuck E. Cheese is supposed to be George Clooney, and you can tell because his scrubs say GC, which I think is supposed to mean George Chucky.
Or George Cheese. There you go.
It says Dr. Cheese to ER stat. Yeah, I guess it's George Cheese.
Yes,
in that
Dr.
One.
Cheese. There you go. Because as we all know, on ER, George Clooney's name was George Clooney. So yeah, they have once again nailed it. You replied to the Chuckfeld tweet and said, "After no consideration, I've decided to make this into a cartoon so Chuck E. Cheese will finally notice me and hire me to write their videos." And Chuck E. Cheese tweeted, "Can't wait to see it," because they were not paying much attention, I guess.
Building off the backs of independent artists. Right. Chuck E. Cheese, I see.
Hey, can't wait to see it. It's like a thing that like a celebrity would say this? Just passing through.
Sky Tic Tac is already for sale on Forever 21.
Sky Tic Tac?
We've been stolen.
They got to us so fast.
That's how it happened.
You know who it was. Whoever's operating that fucking Sky Tic Tac. Yeah. Way ahead of it.
What if the Sky Tic Tacs are marketing to us?
Right.
Oh no.
Shit.
I'm sorry, Sky Tic Tac.
I got a hankering for Tic Tacs.
Anyways, Jamie tweeted in response to that, "Pay me, you freeloading rat." and I am a big fan of that sentiment. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page, and The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are given away for free. We also have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
I've just been playing it all day. This is a song by Big Black Delta.
Yeah.
And it's called Hugging and Kissing. And if you've seen the first season of The Sinner, this will rattle your bones. If not, you'll just think this is a like heavy, you know, electro synth track from 2010, which it is. But man, the synths are heavy, the vocals are haunting, and it's the artist is actually just like a one-man wrecking crew. Although he plays with a band, but it's all done by him. So this is Hugging and Kissing by BBD.
Yeah, BBD also has a good song, Side of the Road. and Poison.
Different movie.
Oh, sorry.
It's Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yeah. But Side of the Road is Big Black Delta, and it's a dope song. All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Pushing and shoving, hugging and kissing.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.